Good afternoon. This is Tamara reading the Gilman Star for the week of December 16th. We'll start with local news. The As We See It column. The next Old Boys and Girls reunion meeting is January 7th at 7 p.m. at the garage. We had to go to Champaign last week, and one of the things we noticed or didn't notice was bell ringers for the Salvation Army. There just didn't seem as many as we thought we remembered from past Yule seasons. You can still make a donation to the Salvation Army locally on Saturday, December 19th, from 9 a.m. to noon at one of the kettle donations in downtown Gilman, at Hometown Grocery, or at the pilot station near I-57. Reverend James Harkin says a check payable to the Salvation Army can still be deposited to the Salvation Army or sent to the Life Church at Box 175 in Gilman. And please don't forget, a Wreaths Across America will be held at both the Onarga and Gilman cemeteries Saturday starting at 11. Volunteers are always welcome, and it's our understanding that Onarga has 500 wreaths to be placed in the cemetery. We didn't realize how big the Onarga Cemetery was until a few years ago, when we went out to take pictures of the ceremony, so they can use your help. Those who want to do specific graves should be there at about 10 o'clock. Pat Roberts is chairing the Gilman ceremony, which is in its first year and is being sponsored by the Gilman American Legion Auxiliary Post 499, and will include both the Gilman Cemetery and Wenger Cemetery on the north side of town at 11 and 11:30 respectively. Those who wish to place a wreath by a specific grave are asked to be at the Gilman Cemetery at 10:30 or Wenger at 11:30. Pat is urging everyone to come out for the first such ceremony in an expression of gratitude and respect for those who have served. Thawville was scheduled to hold their ceremony this past Saturday. Crescent City is also planning a wreath event Saturday. On a similar subject, we received a call this past week from Al Whedon, who told us that the Watseka VFW post had given up its charter, and Clifton is now the only VFW post left in the county. Al says that any VFW members are welcome to join the Clifton unit, and any questions can be directed to him at Clifton VFW 7398 South 5000 West Road in Chabance. Al added that Kankakee and Bradley Bourbonnais are the only other two VFW posts left in the area. December 19th holiday parades for Gilman, Onarga. Christmas parades have been planned for Saturday, December 19th in both Gilman and Onarga. The parade in Gilman will leave from the high school at 1 o'clock, and parade organizers hope to hit all the streets in town. The action moves to Onarga at 3 o'clock with a route to be announced, but it will start at the same location as the Onarga July 4th parade on Roosevelt. The parade will travel through Onarga and finish at the Onarga Theater, where Santa will be, from 4 to 6 p.m. All are welcome to join in either parade. The contact person in Onarga is Fred Walraven. In Gilman, people can go to the Gilman Fire Department Facebook page. The Star will print holiday greeting ads in the December 23rd issue. There will be no issue December 30th. Iroquois County COVID-19 update, dated December 15th, from the Iroquois County Public Health Department. Lab-confirmed cases, 1,812. Test results, 26,029. Negative, 23,935. Positive, 1,812. Deaths, 46. Of the confirmed cases, 1,635 have recovered and been released from isolation, 5 are hospitalized, 388 remain isolated at home. By zip code and town, last week as of 12:15, Gilman was 224, now 234. Clifton, 220, now 228. Ashcombe, 127, now 129. Danforth, from 60 to 66. Onarga, 150 to 169. Watseka, 383 to 417. Crescent City, 48-51. Cisna Park, 129-149. Thawville, 15-19. Piper City, 97-100. Proposal for Gilman Onarga to share two county officers. Law enforcement units across the country are having a hard time replenishing their ranks as officers retire or choose another profession, and that is especially true of smaller towns where the chances for advancement may be limited. Littleburgs hire a recruit who usually has to attend a police training program at a cost to the village, only to see the new hire leave for a better-paying job down the road a few years later. Gilman currently does not have an officer since the last chief left to take another post in a bigger town and is currently using county officers on a part-time basis, and Onarga is using two county officers, one from Iroquois and one from Ford, both part-time. Gilman and Onarga have been conferring with the Iroquois County Sheriff's Office regarding a plan where the two towns would share costs on a county officer who would be in the two towns 10 hours each day, or 70 hours each week, with 6 hours spent in Gilman and four in Onarga daily from 4 p.m. to 2 a.m. Gilman would pay 60% of the costs and Onarga 40%. The boards from both towns discussed the proposal at their November meetings without taking a vote on the issue. Each member of the Gilman Council informally gave approval to the plan, with the thought that formal approval would come at their December meetings. Onarga met Monday night, and Gilman is scheduled to meet next Monday night. When it came time to vote on the issue at Onarga, village trustees expressed some reservation about the plans and a desire to keep the two part-time officers they have, plus the additional hours they would get under the new agreement. Onarga trustees also expressed a desire to see their proposed share of the projected cost reduced from 40% to 30%. Onarga President Shane Cultra was pushing for a vote, but trustees felt they would rather meet with Gilman officials to talk about the contract and hopefully keep their current two part-timers plus have the county deputy hours they would get under a new agreement. Cultra said he felt they had the best deal they were going to get and didn't want to go back to the negotiating table, and told trustees Sarah Barnett and Russ Geisler they were free to meet with Gilman if they wanted to do so. The current staffing gives 37 to 40 hours of police coverage per week at a cost of $49,452 to $53,040 a year. If Onarga kept the two current officers and their 37 to 40 hours per week, plus county deputies for 28 hours a week, the cost would be $102,000 to $106,000 for a total of 65 to 68 hours per week. If Onarga dropped one of the part-time deputies now being used and got 28 hours from the county for a total of 50 hours of coverage per week, the cost would be $84,805. If Onarga kept their two part-timers for 37 to 40 hours and got 21 hours from the county for 58 to 61 hours of coverage and could renegotiate to a 30% share, their cost would be $89,421 to $93,009. If the Onarga officer hours were reduced to 33 and 21 from the county for a total of 54 per week, the cost would be $84,637. There were some differences of opinion on the best option. Barnett said she was not in favor of putting all the town's eggs in one basket if the new program didn't work and Onarga stopped using the part-timers. It was also noted that Onarga's officers are currently do code enforcement, but county officers would not. One point was brought up to the effect that one of the part-timers would be gone in 2 years anyway. Barnett also said Onarga should try to renegotiate their costs down to 30%, and Cultra said 60 to 40% was the best we can do. The question of whether Onarga could afford a contract with the county plus two part-time officers was also suggested, but no further discussion will be held. It was left with the idea that Barnett and Geisler would contact Gilman for further discussions. In other action, the Onarga board heard that Stacy Jewell is having a toy drive for Onarga residents. It was heard that the parkway on newly paved Evergreen Street will be seeded this week. Approved a new budget ordinance which increases the village's tax levy by 4.75%. Voted to buy a new pump for the sewer plant for $8,000. Heard Geisler say that a lot of work on buildings is being done without permits, and cited the case where one yard was left in a mess after a weekend roofing project. A toy drive is being organized for the benefit of Onarga residents, Stacy Jewell, and the Onarga Academy. Stacy says any questions can be directed to her at 815-644-8349 or stacyjewell13@gmail.com. The drive is for Onarga residents only, and toys can be left at the Grand Prairie School at 212 East Seminary at 10 a.m. Saturday. COVID safety precautions are mandatory. Donations can also be made for groceries through Best Supermarket, which will put groceries in bags. Lighted Christmas displays are now on display at Gilman Danforth Library. They were lent to the library by the Monty and Renee Sear family of Gilman. Christy Airy has IW Top Staff Snowflake. And there's a lovely photo of Christy in the print edition of the Gilman Star. Christy Airy is the winner of the third annual Staff Snowflake Contest at IWHS. According to Nancy Meyer, this is the first win for Christy Airy, athletic director at IWHS. Meyer said Christy's very excited about her winning snowflake, which she said took her 6 hours to create for the 3D category. Other category winners are Laciest, Jessica Garman, Bling, Patty Hernandez, and Beginners, Erami Izquierdo. Drive-through dinner to replace IWFFA's annual auction. Due to the current coronavirus restrictions and unpredictability of the future, the Iroquois West FFA alumni have decided not to hold their annual FFA auction. Instead, the alumni will be hosting a drive-through pork chop dinner on Saturday, February 20th, 2021. Griffin Michael Hubert was baptized at St. Paul Evangelical Lutheran Church in Gilman Sunday, December 13th. Officiating was Pastor Pete Henrich. Griffin is the son of Alex and Kara Hubert of Gilman. His sponsors are Ashley and Blake Talip. Liz Martin retires from Crescent City Schools. Liz Martin officially retired as ELA social studies teacher for the Crescent City Grade School Junior High at the end of the 2019-20 school year. However, due to COVID-19 and school dismissing early, she wasn't recognized by the Crescent Iroquois Booster Club. Due to an unavailability of a teacher at a junior high level, Mrs. L. Martin, as she is referred to by her students, opted to return to CCGS to teach the first semester. As the first semester is ending, the Booster Club wanted to recognize her for her retirement before she was done teaching this year. She received a floral arrangement and a certificate from Malia Coleman, Booster Club Treasurer, recently. And now a column by Russ Mann. The judge will, and then in parentheses, not, see you today. Throughout the 2020 election season, President Donald Trump used the age-old tactic of making an accusation over and over in an attempt to burn it into people's memory. He was attempting to save face by setting up an excuse for losing by claiming that the only way he could lose was if his opponent cheated. Well, he lost. Still, he was hoping that he had cast enough doubt on the veracity of the election that he could use the courts that he had been stacking with his judges to have votes in selected minority precincts thrown out and have himself declared the winner. So, failing to have obstructed people from exercising their constitutional right to vote, Donald Trump turned to the courts, his courts, or so he thought, to overturn the most fair and secure election in history. More than 50 times, Trump's legal eagles have had their lawsuits thrown out of court as frivolous and lacking evidence or credibility. A last-minute lawsuit, before the electors vote on 12/14, that was issued by the state of Texas, was even dismissed by Republican Senators Mitt Romney of Utah and John Cornyn of Texas as frivolous and madness. The suit, filed by Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, asked that the Supreme Court throw out the results of the 2020 election in four key states and anoint Trump as president for another 4 years. Observers speculate that Texas AG Paxton, himself under FBI investigation, was using the suit to schmooze Trump to get himself on the top end of Trump's lengthy presidential pardon list. Willing to sacrifice the idealism of democracy and the glory of a republic to keep favor with Donald Trump, 106 Republican lawmakers signed on, running the risk of their constituents in Congress invoking Section 3 of the 14th Amendment and denying them their seats. And then 17 Republican state governments joined Texas in asking the Supreme Court to be complicit in their coup. So far, the Supreme Court, even Trump's appointees, have shown that professional ethics carry more water than political cult loyalty. And then, you can't make this stuff up, as Trump struggled to find legal representation with current Bar Association credentials that they were willing to risk losing, he enlisted the services of Texas Senator Ted Cruz, who graduated from both Harvard Law School and Second Baptist School. It's unsure from which one he received his law degree. That's a curious alliance, remembering the political feud between Trump and Cruz during the 2016 primary as one of the dirtiest in recent memory when they attacked each other's wives, citizenship, and integrity. Trump even attacked Cruz's father, Rafael, a Cuban-American Protestant preacher, accusing him of conspiracy in the JFK assassination. Now, when Trump needs help with his coup, Cruz has morphed from Lion Ted to Beautiful Ted. And Ted, anything you need, big guy. Well, fate intervened, and it turned out Lion Ted's efforts were not needed. Ironically, it seems that all 9 Supreme Court justices had their robes at the dry cleaners at the same time and couldn't hear the case. 4 years of court packing that, in Trump's mind, was intended to assist him in personal political gain has failed. Trump's court losses will leave permanent tire tracks on up his backside from a municipal public people transporter as Trump himself now experiences what it feels like being thrown under the bus. Even as Vice President Mike Pence proclaimed in a recent rally, President Donald Trump deserves his day in court, the Supreme Court. Others would settle for a courtroom in the Southern District of New York. So it seems that in spite of the efforts of Trump and his devoted Trumpublican lawmakers, that the Trump administration will end in just over a month. Some in his party have slowly begun to realize that his movement was unsustainable as long as a majority of Americans still believe in democracy and the American dream. Election officials in Republican states, as well as judges, many appointed under Trump, have let it be known that their oath and their ethics are still a thing, and there are still remnants of what was once a proud conservative party called Republicans. Together with the Democratic Party, the Republicans formed a two-party system that balanced between conservatism and liberalism and coexisted to represent a diverse nation. America would benefit if the Republicans would again take control of their party and return it to a position of actually aiding in the government of this great nation. Bennett donates to Watsika Food Pantry. State Representative Tom Bennett gave a generous donation recently to the Watsika Area Food Pantry that serves Illinois County residents in need. Bennett thanked the food pantry's administrator, Martha Howe, for the work she and all of the volunteers have done to keep the pantry open throughout the COVID pandemic. For Iroquois residents in need of help, phone the pantry to place an appointment for food pickup Monday through Friday between 9 and 10:30 at 815-432-0122. We'll turn now to the death notices for the week. Lois J. Rademacher Asper Mills, formerly of Bloomington, passed away peacefully on December 1st at Beehive Homes in Oregon, Wisconsin, on what would have been her and Fred Mills' 46th wedding anniversary. A private burial service was held due to the current COVID restrictions. A celebration of life will be planned when it is deemed safe to gather and rejoice in the joy that Lois brought to us all. Details will be published as soon as possible. Kibler Brady Roostman Memorial Home in Bloomington is assisting the family with arrangements. Online condolences and memories of Lois may be left for her family at Kibler Brady www.bruceman.com. A memorial service will be held at a later date to honor Ray C. Smith, 56, of Onarga, who died December 1st at Carl Hospital in Urbana. The memorial service will be held at the Garage Community Center in Gilman at a later date. James Francis Jim Perdue passed away Friday, November 20th. Graveside services were Wednesday, November 25th at Meadowbrook Memorial Gardens. Arrangements by Smith Westbrook Funeral Home at smithfamilycares.com. To send flowers to the family or plant a tree in memory of James Perdue, please visit our floral store. This concludes the reading of the death notices for the week, and we'll return now to local news. The Iroquois County Sheriff's Police Report, December 9th. Milford Police arrested Jonathan D. Britton, 28, of Chicago, after conducting a traffic stop on a vehicle driven by Britton, which was initially stopped, then took off at a high rate of speed before attempting to turn and going into a ditch at State Route 1 and the 1400 Road intersection. Britton was charged with aggravated fleeing and eluding, driving while license revoked, and speeding at 120 miles per hour in a 55 mile per hour zone. December 10th, Sheriff's Police arrested Brittany N. Ely, 29, of Sheldon, after a traffic stop on U.S. 45 just south of Buckley, on a vehicle reported stolen in Arizona. Ely was placed under arrest and charged with possession of a stolen vehicle and speeding and taken to the county jail. Clifton police arrested Anthony L. Fisk, 40, of Ashcombe, after they initiated a traffic stop on a vehicle that would not stop, leading to a short pursuit. Fisk was charged with aggravated fleeing and eluding, driving while license suspended, and disobeying traffic control device. December 12th, Sheriff's Police arrested Corey Renwick, 18, of Moments, who was charged with burglary to a tool shed, burglary to a motor vehicle, and theft under $500. Sheriff's Police arrested Stephen Ramsey, 39, of Sheldon, who was also wanted on an outstanding Iroquois County warrant, charging him with failure to appear for burglary. Sheriff's Police arrested Nicole Jansen, 33, who was wanted on an outstanding Iroquois County warrant, charging her with failure to appear for domestic battery. Police arrested Eric Deaton, 39, of Milford, who was wanted on an outstanding Illinois Department of Corrections warrant. In addition, Deaton was charged with possession of a hypodermic syringe and possession of methamphetamine. December 13th, Sheriff's Police investigated a single car accident near 3150 North, where a vehicle driven by Tanya M. Hansen, 40, of Donovan, was traveling north on 2700 East when she failed to negotiate a curve in the roadway. Hansen lost control of her vehicle on the curve and struck a guardrail, causing over $1,500 damage. She showed signs of alcohol impairment and was charged with failure to reduce speed to avoid an accident and driving under the influence of alcohol. Iroquois West senior Lucas Alvarez signed a letter of interest recently to run cross-country for Aurora University next year. His parents are Rich and Denise Alvarez. A photo appears on the front page of the Gilman Star, including coaches Jim Price and Steve Massey. The Douglas Township Board meets monthly on the second Thursday of each month at 3 p.m. at the Township Office, 615 South Maple, Gilman, Illinois. Nina Hubert, Township Clerk. In the Circuit Court of the 21st Judicial Circuit, Iroquois County, Illinois, in the matter of the estate of Donna L. Gates, deceased, case number 2020-P63, notice for publication claims. Notice is given of the death of Donna L. Gates of Loda, Illinois. Letters of office were issued on the 23rd day of November 2020 to Kimberly Groves and Tracy L. Dahlman, whose attorney is Ellen M. Lee. Claims against the estate may be filed in the office of the clerk of the court at Iroquois County Courthouse, 550 South 10th Street, Watseka, Illinois, 60970, or with the representative or both by June 9th, 2021, and any claim not filed within that period is barred. The Gilman Healthcare Center is looking for a day shift cook. Cooking experience is a plus, sanitation license preferred. Every other weekend and holiday a must. Previous employees, applicants need not apply. Pick up an application at 1390 South Crescent, Gilman. No phone calls, please. The IWMS Student of the Month in the 6th grade, Layla Johnson, Jaden Brown, winner Vincent Rinkenberger, Ben Hack, and Trenton Reed. 7th grade winner, Aubrey Chandler. The photo also includes Gretchen Wims, Selma Devis, Christian Gayton, and Hunter Spears. 8th grade winner is Claire Wagner. Also in the photograph, Kyla McGee, Chase Ritzma, Jackson Schunke, and Garrett Tammen from the 8th grade. Join the Christmas Club. How does it work? Christmas Club payments will be set up as an AFT, automatic funds transfer, from any deposit account at Prospect Bank. An AFT will be issued in October of 2021 for the amount that has been deposited. Set aside up to $1,000 per month. You can save $440 for your 2021 Christmas shopping by setting aside just $40 a month. From the Gilman United Methodist Church, phone number 815-265-4500, Pastor Malcolm Jones. Per bishop, during COVID rise, no service until further notice. Please watch for Sunday messages each Sunday at the GUMC Facebook page. Christmas Eve message will be Christmas Eve later in the evening. The top three sellers of Monocle's pizza certificates were Jude Johnson, 60, Gavin Coleman, 32, and Cooper DeLar, 30. Recently, the Crescent Iroquois Booster Club of Unit District 249 conducted a fundraiser to help the group raise funds. The fundraiser was conducted by selling Monocle's pizza certificates. This year, students and staff sold 361 certificates. The top sellers, Jude Johnson, received $15, Gavin Coleman received $10, and Cooper DeLar received $5. Each also got to choose one prize from the two prize baskets, one prize for every five tickets they sold. So Jude was able to choose 12 prizes, and Gavin and Cooper each got 6. Students got to pick one prize for each 5 certificates sold. Those who participated and received prizes were Hannah Coleman, Grace Robinson, Kinsey Smith, Quinn Butzow, Gazen Medina, Track Kisak, Annabeth Rippey, Sophia Moeller, Brooklyn Robbie, Ava Graybow, Adelaide Ulich, Ariana Ulich, and Lucas Albers and Brantley Ritzma. Jody Munsterman, the 4th, 5th grade teacher at CCGS, sold 52 Monocle's pizza certificates during the fundraiser. This has been Tamara reading the Gilman Star for the week of December 16th. I hope to read with you again soon. Happy holidays.